This episode of the UAV Digest is sponsored by Corporate Service Supply and Manufacturing, a DJI Enterprise dealer providing DJI equipment and support for law enforcement, public safety, construction, and other commercial users of unmanned aerial systems. To learn more, visit the uavdigest.com/css. And by Go Engineer, provider of design, engineering, and 3D printing solutions for the aerospace and unmanned vehicles industries. To learn more, visit the uavdigest.com/goengineer. You're listening to episode 257 of the UAV Digest. I'm Max Flight in Hartford, Connecticut.
And I'm David Vanderhoof in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania. Hey, Max, how are we?
Okay, David. We're recording a little bit late this week, but better late than never, I guess.
Well, that's right. So our guests have to wait, but anticipation's good. It makes it for even a better episode. But so I guess since we are running late, we should probably get started. So how about we kick it off with some news, like Asia's first solar-powered drone, whale defecation events, Colombia is now using an army of poison cocaine drops for drones, and drone hunters knock out killer drones in the sky. So we got some good news here, so let's get started. Well, our first story comes from news.nus.edu.sg. Asia's first fully solar-powered drone lifts off. It's a fully solar-powered quadcopter built by the engineering students at the University of Singapore.
It's an interesting device, David. It uses an array of 148 silicon solar cells. Now, they're on a four-square-meter carbon fiber frame. So I guess we can assume that each square meter powers each of the four motors. It's not exactly a super rigid flying device if you watch the video, but I think that's not really what these guys are trying to prove and develop here.
Yeah, and it's only 5.73 pounds. It can fly autonomously or be remotely controlled. And flight time is not unlimited. Flight time is unlimited as long as the sun shines. Well, that only happens for a certain amount of hours of the day. So, but there are some challenges for them to overcome.
Yes, they spent some time trying to determine the optimum number of solar cells. And of course, when you're dealing with solar cells, the cell efficiency is an issue, as is the weight of the solar cells. Since this was by necessity a very light craft, the weight of the propulsion system is an issue that they had to deal with. And the students also had to take a look at the stability of the frame, or the rigidity of the frame and the stability of the flight. So if you look at the video, I think that they've really, really shown that you can develop a quadcopter that's powered by solar cells. Usually we see fixed wing vehicles powered by solar cells, don't we, David?
It's kind of funny because, you know, a wing is an optimal place to put solar cells. A quadcopter, not so much. So you're not going to put the solar cells on spinning rotor blades. So it's interesting that they're trying to branch out to find a technology level that will work with a quadcopter or a multi-rotor. So unique design, branching out from what we're used to as far as solar-powered aircraft. So, but there's still a lot of challenges. It's I would say, a small step forward.
Yes, I would agree. Definitely a proof of concept kind of effort, but I got to give the students at the National University of Singapore a lot of credit for developing it to this point. So congratulations to all the folks there in Singapore.
Folks, when I leave my co-host to do the show notes and the show planning, stories like this always seem to come up. I don't know why.
Drone Mama found this one.
Oh, okay. Well, we can blame Drone Mama on this one. This is from motherboard.vice.com. Scientists who study whale defecation events. This is one of those, going to be one of those stories that I just not going to be able to do with a straight face. But what is Oregon State University Marine Mammal Institute, or OSU MMI, studying whales and what they're doing?
Well, we've talked about drones being used to study whales in other ways. I recall, David, I think we had a story some time ago about using drones to scoop up whale snot in order to analyze that. Well, it turns out that, like most things, whales defecate, and if you analyze what they excrete, you can learn a lot about the whales. So how do you do this? Well, it turns out that whales kind of go as they're swimming along, and what happens is sort of a plume of this matter exits out the rear of the whale, but it dissipates really quickly. So it's kind of hard to see, let alone sample. Well, these folks at Oregon State University have been using a drone to follow along whales, in this case, gray whales, from above, such that the researchers can monitor the video produced by the drone. And when they see one of these plumes exiting out the back of the whale, another smaller boat, I guess a chase boat you might call it, shoots up in order to begin taking samples before the plume dissipates completely. So great use of a drone to do something that has been difficult to accomplish otherwise. David, if you could see, I can see David because there's this video component to Skype, and I think David is sort of rolling his eyes and shaking his head.
There are sometimes I'm left speechless on this show, and I don't even have a snarky remark. In all fairness, poop has been vitally important for scientific study for years, and it tells a lot about animals and people and petrified ones, and so it makes perfect sense. It's just I sometimes wonder about the things we talk about on this show, but you know, they're whales and we want to protect them, and the more we know about them, the easier it is to protect them. So I think if you want to watch the video, there will be links in the show notes. You know, they don't bring out the newspaper. It's a very quick and abrupt thing, but they do leave a trail.
Yes, they do.
Let's move on to another subject. To quote Eric Clapton, cocaine.
Yes. From BGR.com, Colombia is now using an army of drones to poison cocaine crops.
Well, Colombia has a drug problem, and they're using drones to spray herbicides to kill crops that would become used to be refined and to become cocaine. These crops are not in accessible areas. They're not. So I could see how a remotely piloted drone would be a much more effective way of attacking these crops and maybe even attacking them clandestinely, so that the small drones carrying 50 pounds of weight and pesticide are not like large herbicide helicopters that you hear coming from miles away, which is how they've been previously doing it.
And another benefit of using drones versus helicopters or other kinds of aircraft is apparently many times these crops are part of a larger farm. So the farmer or whoever is growing them may have this stuff nestled in places where you don't want a basically overspray and either contaminate people or residences or other food crops and that kind of thing. And with the drones, they're able to deploy the herbicide very precisely, so they can more closely target, I guess, the plants that they want to kill this way. David, you mentioned sort of the maybe surreptitious nature of a drone versus versus other aircraft. And of course, obviously, a drone is going to cost a lot less than a helicopter. So if the now angry farmer brings out their, I don't know, anti-aircraft armament and shoots you down, you've just lost a drone. You haven't lost a helicopter. So there's that benefit as well.
And way to go. Way to tie into the next article. Because if you're a cocaine grower and you have a drone flying over that's trying to kill your cocaine, you might want a drone hunter, like we talk about from NBCNews.com. The drone hunter knocks killer drones out of the sky, from Fordham Technologies. So for every drone, there's an equal and opposite anti-drone system.
They call this a counter-unmanned aircraft system, or CUAS. And the name of the drone, is, as David said, is the Drone Hunter. And the article we have is an NBC video report. And I'm not sure that the video is available elsewhere, but according to the CEO of Fordham Technologies, Timothy Bean, he said the Drone Hunter patrols the airspace, detects any unwanted objects in the airspace, enemy drones or other robotics. It pursues them and then safely captures them and tows them away to a safe location. And it does this autonomously, which is pretty impressive, David. It appears that you can send this thing up and using a radar system, they call it TrueView radar that they've developed, they're able to identify targets and take them out.
I like the fact that it doesn't destroy the drone, but captures it and takes it back to wherever you take back your captured drone. It's a good way, you know, to find out who the bad guy is that was flying the drone in the first place. You know, so it's not just destroying it, it's actually capturing it. They have made sales to the DOD, airports, and sports stadiums, as well as having quite a few strategic partners. Boeing, AOPA, AUVSI, NASA, and MBAA involved. It's interesting that AUVSI is involved. I'm interested to see how AUVSI is dealing with anti-drone vehicles, considering they're one of our prime advocates for UASs. And they offer three products: TrueView Radar, which is a radar solution optimized for both manned and unmanned aerial vehicles, as well as ground-to-air applications; the Drone Hunter, which is actually the drone itself; and SkyDome, manage your airspace and secure against an unauthorized or attacking intruders. Sounds a bit like the Iron Dome system that they use in the Middle East.
Yes, it does. I think it's basically equivalent to that kind of a concept, where you're able to define some space, some dome over the ground that you want protected, and then this operates within that space to identify intruders.
So, interesting. We always have anti-drones. Watch the video again on our show notes. And we'll go to a press release. Pollen Systems launches drone-based data and analysis solution to improve vineyard and crop yields. And this was from businesswire.com. Ah, vineyards. Thank God the drones are protecting our vineyards from nasty people so we can have wine.
That's right. David's no stranger to wine.
I like wine. I'm very fond of wine. But so Pollen Systems Corporation in Bellevue have announced a managed service that helps farms and vineyards monitor their crops. Subscribing to farms and vineyards get weekly visits by a certified drone technologist. I like that term. I think we should become that, Max. We should become certified drone technologists. And what's the goal?
So what happens is the certified drone technologist shows up with a pollen scout, and they use it to capture detailed photographs, images, as well as spectral images that help the farmer identify issues such as crop growth issues or irrigation problems, diseases, pests, things of that sort. And the pollen scout, which has already been flying at a small number of vineyards in Washington state, captures images, it stores them in the cloud, and it captures not only RGB images, but also NDRE images, that's normalized difference red edge images, and also NDVI images, or normalized difference vegetation index images. And just if you're not familiar with those, NDVI is a method for detecting vegetation, whereas NDRE is sensitive to the chlorophyll content in leaves. And with this data, the analysis can pinpoint areas that need further help on the part of the grower. They do this in the cloud, David, so it's kind of interesting. The analysis happens there, and if you're the grower, the farmer, you can access that data from basically any device, a computer or mobile device, anything of that sort. Kind of an interesting concept, and a great way. And I think they're selling this as a service, as opposed to a one-time kind of purchase of the capability. I think there's a an ongoing service fee to maintain this weekly analysis of your crops.
Now look at what we've done in this episode. We have the ability to cultivate our cocaine crops, protect them with an iron dome, and if worse comes to worse, use another drone to check out those crops and to be able to locate whale poop to use as fertilizer for the crops. I think this is a quality episode, Max.
Did you mention we also talked about the ability to absolutely destroy your crops by drone if for some reason you decided to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the next episode's kind of creepy. It's a video of the week. Watch this delightful aerial robot dance with its dangly legs. And this is from our listener Isaac on our Slack team. This is another one of those ones that showed up in the show notes, Max, and I sort of scratched my head and went, I have no idea.
This is something the University of Tokyo has been working on. Researchers there have developed this, I'm not sure what you call it, this device. The head of it, the top of it, is a quadcopter, but they've attached these kind of thin legs to it that are controlled by servos. And as you fly the quadcopter, not up in the air, not high, but over the ground, such as the legs are able to touch the ground, the servos react to the forward speed, the direction, and all of that of this quadcopter, and then manipulate the legs to correspond to that. So as the quadcopter kind of moves around in different directions, these legs are kind of sort of dancing in step with it. It's a very strange thing. It kind of reminded me, David, of I think those War of the Worlds kinds of
tripods.
Yeah, although this has two legs. So an obvious question to ask, and some people in some of the comments for this article on CNET ask, why would you want to do this? What's the point? What's the purpose? I think that, we talked about the solar-powered quadcopter at the beginning of the show and how that's kind of a proof of concept. This may be even a step or two in advance of just a proof of concept kind of prototype. I don't know what kind of applications this might have. It might have implications for future robotics or future robots. where the bipedal robot is able to move appropriately in relationship to some commands for movement and that sort of thing. I don't know, David. I think the use of a quadcopter here is just a way to move the legs about in order to test out the concepts.
Watch the video, folks. Send us feedback at feedback@theuavdigest.com. Tell us what you think, because I, for the life of me, and I'm pretty good at usually figuring out applications for this stuff. I don't even... It's entertaining.
It is.
And it's a quadcopter puppet. It's a dancing quadcopter, folks. So we'll just leave it with that.
There is a paper that describes this, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes. The abstract to the paper mentions that this biped robot has more agile movements than conventional robots. It notes that this robot can generate bipedal walking motion automatically by using a quad rotor for balance and movement. They say it's possible to make for more agile movements, generate a gait interactively and in real time, according to the motion of the quad rotor, using the optimized control policy of the legs. So, yeah, take a look at it. It's not really a story about a drone, about a quadcopter, but a story about using a quadcopter in order to achieve some kind of unrelated ends. So it's kind of interesting from that standpoint.
We don't always talk about drones. We talk about flying taxis. We talk about underwater submarines. We've talked about snot and poop. So clearly,
anything's fair game.
Well, we're a very diversified podcast here, folks. The UAV Digest title is a little too conservative for what the type of hard hitting journalism that Max and I like doing with the coaching of Drone Mama. So I think on those notes, let's wrap this one up, Max, and call it done. How about it?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, David. And we want to thank you all, as always, for listening to the UAV Digest. You can find us at theuavdigest.com. As this is episode 257, if you want to go straight to the show notes, look at the videos, read the articles, or dig deeper into them, then just visit theuavdigest.com/257.
And, of course, we're all over the social media to bring you the constant variety of drone news. You can find us on Twitter at UAV Digest. You can find us on Facebook at the UAV Digest. Or you can join our Slack listener team like Isaac did and share us these quirky, kind of peculiar drone stories. And you do that by sending us an email to feedback@theuavdigest.com. Say, hi, I'm me, and here's my email address, and I want to join the club. That simple. And of course, you can definitely patron our sponsors. You can also purchase some swag at our Cafe Press store. And last but not least, you can do two things. One is you can leave some feedback for us on our various platforms, either Google Podcasts or Apple Podcasts or Stitcher.com. And with that, I'm going to say this is David in Fort Washington.
And Max in Hartford.
Thank you for listening.